Hello, everybody. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I am now in the book of Genesis, chapter 24. I'm going to do the last six verses of the chapter, verses 62 through 67. And we're going to see Isaac joyously meeting Rebekah as she comes back from the land of Haran with Abraham's servant Eliezer. The first part of chapter 24 is our context, which covers all of the negotiations that Eliezer did with Laban, Rebekah's brother, in the land of Padan Aram. And at the conclusion of those negotiations, Eliezer loaded Rebekah up on one of his camels and proceeded to take her west, away from Syria, into the Promised Land, and all the way south, down to, as we'll see in a minute, probably Beersheba, which is to the south, in the Negev, towards the Negev. And so now we will start in Genesis 24, verses 62 and 63. Now Isaac had come from going to Beer Lahairoi, for he was living in the Negev. Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. Now let's locate where Isaac was. After he had been saved from being sacrificed on Mount Moriah from his father Abraham in Genesis 22, we know that Abraham took Isaac back to Beersheba, not Beer Lahairoi, but Beersheba. We know that because we read in Genesis 22:19, after the virtual sacrifice of Isaac, so Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. So we assume that Isaac and Abraham are living at Beersheba, and then for some reason Isaac went down to Beer Lahairoi, and then had come back from Beer Lahairoi to Beersheba, although that's not stated in the text. It's just a reasonable supposition. Verse 62 says, now Isaac had come from going to Beer Lahairoi. So we assume he's back there in Beersheba with his dad Abraham when Eliezer shows up with Rebekah. Now, where is Beer Lahairoi? That is the Hebrew, which is translated, quote, well of the living one who sees me. That's the well where Hagar was saved from death by the Lord when she was cast out from Abraham's household and she wandered in the desert. And she was cast out because of the jealousy that she had caused between Isaac and Ishmael. And as a result, she almost died of thirst. And God showed up there, said, you're going to live. Your son is going to be the father of many nations and so forth. That's the same Beer Lahairoi. Ironically, Isaac ends up living down there, or at least visiting, pastoring down there at the place where his half-brother, his cantankerous half-brother Isaac was saved while in his mother's womb, in his mother Hagar's womb. Let me read you from Easton's Illustrated Dictionary concerning Beer Lahairoi, i.e., the well of him that liveth and seeth me, or as some render it, the well of the vision of life, the well where the Lord met with Hagar. Isaac dwelt beside this well. It has been identified with a couple of Arab names, which I'm not going to mention, places southwest of Beersheba and about 12 miles west from Kadesh Barnea. All right, so here's a little bit of geography. Kadesh Barnea, there's three wildernesses coming up from the Sinai Desert. At the very north of the Sinai Desert, right at the northern tips of the Gulf of Aqaba and the Suez Gulf, we have the wilderness of Paran. You go a little ways up past that, and you get to the wilderness of Sin. And if you go to the northern part on the western edge of the wilderness of Sin is Kadesh Barnea. That place is famous because that's where the Israelites stopped at, sent the spies out, and decided there were too many giants in the land to take it. And so they stopped and had to go east around the southern tip of the Dead Sea. Now, if you'll think of Kadesh Barnea and in relation to the Dead Sea, you go to the Dead Sea at the southern tip of it and go a little bit further south and then head west across the wilderness of Sin and you get to Kadesh Barnea. Now, if you go about 12 miles or so, and again, the site is not absolutely identified, but you hit Beer Lahairoi, which is near the Wadi El Arish. El Arish is still a town there on the Mediterranean coast. A wadi runs from El Arish down from north to south, roughly. And that is the boundary line between Israel and Egypt. So Beer Lahairoi is, it was the boundary line in ancient Israel and Egypt also. And if you go past the Wadi El Arish, past Beer Lahairoi, you end up in the desert of Shur, which is the desert that separates Israel and Egypt. Now, where's Kadesh Barnea and Beer Lahairoi in connection with Beersheba? Well, you have to go north till you hit the southern end of the Dead Sea, and then you go north about a third of the way up at the place where the northern basin and the southern basin of the Dead Sea meet, and that place is now dried up. It's become a salt flat because the governments of Israel and Jordan have sucked so much water out of the Dead Sea and so much water out of the Jordan River that the Dead Sea is shrinking and getting lower and lower. So basically, if you go to that dividing point between the Dead Sea and then head halfway to the Mediterranean coast, you're at Beersheba, which is by highway, not by the, as the crow flies, but by highway, about 64 miles southwest of Jerusalem. And so, basically, Beer Lahairoi is, to make it short, is southwest of Beersheba. I don't know, maybe 24, 25 miles. I can't really tell by this map, but it's not far. So Isaac's in the same general area down there in Beer Lahairoi as was his father, Beersheba, and he left Beer Lahairoi, went back to Beersheba, probably, we don't know for sure, and there he sees Rebekah coming to see him. Now, notice in verse 63, Isaac is meditating in the field. That shows that Isaac must have been somewhat of a spiritual guy. It doesn't say he's meditating about God, but we might reasonably assume that's what he was doing, meditating about God. And lo and behold, like a dream, he lifts his eyes up, and there's that beautiful virgin Rebekah coming to him on a camel. His ship had come in. Now, that's some meditation there, boy. That's prayer and answer to prayer. Sounds like a country song. We go now to verses 64 through 67 in Genesis 24. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. Why did she dismount? Well, it would have been disrespectful to Isaac if she had stayed on the camel, as John Gill says. As Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown say, an inferior always dismounts in the presence of a person of rank. I suspect that's because if you're on a camel, you're sort of high above the person you're talking to, and that's not respectful. You need to be lower than them to show respect to them as a superior. So she dismounts from the camel. She said to the servant, that's Eliezer, Abraham's servant, who is that man walking in the field to meet us? Now, here's some options as to what she's thinking. One is she might have had no idea who that servant was, and so she's asking. That's what it sounds like to me. John Gill says she may have suspected it was Isaac, and she was just asking for confirmation. Ooh, is that Isaac? Who is that? After all, it's an unknown man walking to see the camels, and so she might have assumed that that was Isaac. I don't know. Doesn't really matter. But when Eliezer answered and said, oh, that man, he's my master. Now, Eliezer was Abraham's servant, and so Abraham was his master, but also Abraham's son was his master, too. She took the veil and covered herself. Now, covering, here's some options as to what that covering meant. What did Rebekah mean when she covered herself with that veil? Well, the NIV Study Bible says that this was a sign that she was unmarried. Unmarried women covered their faces with a veil. So modest. Gill and Clark say it was not necessarily that she was unmarried, but it was because she was a woman, and it was just illustrating feminine modesty that she covered her face up with a veil. John Gill and Adam Clark and Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown all say that this covering of her face with the veil was a token of subjection to Isaac. She's saying, this is my husband. This is my Lord. I'm going to serve him now. Those were the days, my friend. We thought they would never end. When a woman could cook, and still would, as Merle Haggard put it, in the days before Gloria Steinem and evangelical feminism. So in verse 66, the servant Eliezer told Isaac all the things that he had done. In other words, all the things in this chapter 24, when he had been sent by Abraham to Laban's house in the land of Haran and negotiated the bride price, the betrothal of Rebekah to Isaac. Eliezer explains all that to Isaac, so he knows, so he's brought up to speed. Verse 67, then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, brought Rebekah into his mother Sarah's tent. And that's where it was Sarah's tent when Sarah was living. Of course, Sarah's not living anymore. She's already died. Now, there's a lot of things left out here, as John Gill points out. After Eliezer introduces Rebekah to Isaac, you know that Isaac spent some time talking with Rebekah, getting to know her a little bit. Then he agreed to marry her, says, yes, I'll marry you. I agree with what Eliezer has done. And then Isaac probably took Rebekah and introduced Rebekah to Abraham, Isaac's father. And then Abraham probably gave Sarah's tent to Isaac and Rebekah, his deceased wife Sarah's tent was still up, and Isaac and Rebekah are living there now in Beersheba. And on that happy, happy note, we finish chapter 24, which prepares us for our next audio, which will cover the first 18 verses of chapter 25, describing Abraham's death and his descendants. I hope you stay tuned for that audio, and I hope you enjoyed this one.